out of the sanctuary this evening after our service, and he'll be standing in the narthex to receive the right hand of fellowship from you. We turn to the Word of God in Psalm 56. Psalm 56. To the chief musician upon Jonathan, Elam, Rekokim, Miktam of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. That's a historical context, and we'll be referring back to it for a fuller time. I don't have the time this evening, but if you read 1 Samuel chapter 21, that will give you the time when David was experiencing this great fear. Psalm 56, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? And our text that Peter chose was verse 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. As I said, this is a psalm of David. And when you think of David, what do you think of him? Boys and girls, do you think of the giant killer? Or we think of the mighty king of Israel who led the army against the enemies and defeated them, bringing peace and prosperity to Israel. Or do you think of David as the poet, the sweet singer of Israel? But how often do we think about David as the refugee? The one fleeing all alone for his life. At least two different occasions. The one in 1 Samuel chapter 21. And then later on when his own son Absalom is seeking his life, a refugee. David, what boldness of faith that man had. Boys and girls, you remember that little lad, David. The boy who comes out of the fields with the sheep. He's not an experienced soldier, but he just comes there with his little slingshot. and five puny smooth stones. And it'll go over against this lad, David, stands the great giant Goliath, the man of war, whose roar, we read, made the seasoned army of Saul tremble, shake with fright. They fled from him, and we read they were sore afraid of him. You see those two in your mind? And this young lad, David, says, first of all, to his king, King Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him," that is Goliath. "Thy servant will go up and fight with the Philistine. The Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion. The Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the bear. He shall deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And when David comes before Goliath, think a moment, this 9-foot giant, Goliath is insulted. We read that when he saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth. And he cries out, "Am I a dog that thou comest against me with staves? I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." And then David's response of faith: "Thou comest against me with a sword and with a spear, with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I shall smite thee and take thy head from thee. And I will give thy carcass of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowl of the air and the beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. The Lord saveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into his hands." What faith that young lad had. Beautiful, strong faith. Well, some years have progressed, haven't they? David has fought wars. He has killed many Philistines. And because he is God's instrument in saving Israel, King Saul is very jealous. And in 1 Samuel chapter 20, we find Jonathan telling David, "Yes, my dad, King Saul, wants to kill you. You better flee for your life." So we read in 1 Samuel chapter 21, David, who has killed his 10,000s, now flees for his life. And we read in verse 10, "And David arose and he fled that day for fear of Saul." Fear of Saul. And he went to Achish, king of Gath. And then only two verses later, in the presence of Achish of Gath, we read, "And David was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath." David is standing there in that hostile territory with no one with him, with no resources. He's filled with panic. He's desperate. Fleeing from King Saul, he first of all goes to Nob, and there he finds food, some bread given to him by the priests, and he's given the sword of Goliath. That's his only weapon. And then Saul kills all the priests of Nob. And David flees again. And he goes to Gath. Boys and girls, do you know where Gath is? Gath is one of the major cities of the Philistines. And boys and girls, do you know who Gath's hero is? Yeah. Goliath was of Gath. And here comes David, of all places, carrying the sword of Goliath, whom he killed, and he goes to Gath. I bet King David thought, what am I doing with this sword? Wanting to somewhere stick it away. Oh, he is afraid. For the people in Gath know him. They have seen him. This is the man that's killed our hero, Goliath. And isn't this the one whom they sing in Israel, Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his 10,000s. And who are those 10,000? Philistines. David is very afraid. He must have thought, I was crazy to go to this place. And yes, he acts it out, doesn't he? In the presence of Achish, he acts like a madman with spittle all over his clothes, drawing on the doors. And Achish scratches his head and he says, do I need more fools in my kingdom? Don't I have enough? Oh, David, David, when you seek to save yourself, when we seek to save ourselves, our schemes come to naught. When he relied upon his own understanding, let me flee from Saul, surely he won't enter into that place of the Philistines. He has to degrade himself, the king of Israel, acting like a madman. What's interesting in this chapter, in 1 Samuel 20 and 1 Samuel 21, we do not read about David going to prayer to his God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and not to thine own understanding, and he will direct thy paths, O David. Don't rely upon your own understanding. You and I, we need to hear that. In our life, we can't say, what do I think is best? What do I feel is best? Look to the Lord. David has let go of God. He falls into folly. But God doesn't let go of his servant David. David is singing this psalm probably after that nightmare. He comes to his senses. In reflection of his misery, he sees how God has saved him and he needs to continue to look to the Lord. What we have in Psalm 56 is then not the voice of folly, but it is the voice of faith. Fear leads David to trust in the Lord. That's what we read already in verses 3 and 4 of this psalm. What time I am afraid. What time there's no help. What time I put myself into bad situations. I will trust in thee, in God. I will praise his word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Fear spurs us to faith. We also have our fears, don't we? The little wee one is afraid of the dark at night. He needs a nightlight, or he is afraid if mother goes away from his presence. Or the young person is afraid of peer pressure. What will my classmates think about me? Will they accept me? Will I be liked? There is the fear of the person who faces surgery, or the fear of the person who hears the doctor say, cancer. There is the fear that we have for the well-being of our children. There is the fear that we have for a wayward child. There is the fear of financial difficulties. There's the fear of young candidates for the ministry. When I get out of school, will there be a church to call me? There's the fear of a pastor coming to a new pastorate. Will I be accepted in my new charge? And there's even the fear of old pastors. Have I maybe outstayed my welcome in the congregation? Fears. We all have them. And the Bible tells us God knows our frame. How often God says to his people, as he said to the shepherds, "Fear not." How often Jesus says those words, "Fear not, little flock." We have many fears. And it is often God who leads us into those circumstances. Why does God lead us into these trials? He could prevent it. He could prevent cancer. He could prevent troubles in our life. And what do we read from God's word? He does it to test us. Because we need to see, to learn our own weakness of our flesh, and to look away from ourselves. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto the praise and the glory and the honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Yes, God tests our faith. And God brings us into these circumstances. In Psalm 56, we read there of David, "Trusting, I will not be afraid, I will not fear." How realistic the Bible is, huh? It shows these what we might call heroes of faith, these wonderful, powerful men, men of God, with all their weakness. God says, "Do not be afraid." David says, "I was afraid." David, the warrior. You and I, children of God, who are called to fight the good fight, to run that race, we look at the difficulties, we look at the fierceness of the enemies, and we are afraid. Notice this. Notice this carefully. Faith does not mean the absence of fear. Let that not be a test of our orthodoxy, whether we're ever afraid. Faith does not mean the absence of fear. But faith is the resisting of fear. Faith is the victory whereby fear doesn't gain the ascendancy, where fear doesn't cripple us. That's the theme, really, of this psalm. And that's why these verses from 3 and 4 and verses 10 and 11 almost are identical, aren't they? Faith is the victory over fear. Don't think for a moment that faith can never have fear, never face fear. It's all around us. So David says, "What time I am afraid," honesty there, "what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." That, beloved, is the response that God wants. That's the chorus here of the psalm. That's the heart of this psalm. In God I will trust. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. So over against the fears that are in our life, circumstances that will cause fear for the child of God, there is sure faith. Now, perhaps you say, looking at our text, and you look at the whole psalm, and you say that word faith isn't mentioned there at all. Nope, it's not. But then, according to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 7, what is true faith? Faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Spirit works by the gospel in my heart. There you have it. Faith is not merely assenting to the truths of God's Word. Even unbelievers can assent to the truths of God's Word and not yet put their trust in the Lord. That is not, they do not have a saving faith. True faith is a certain knowledge of that Word of God, which gives us then an assured confidence or a trust. Relying upon that Word, committing our hope in the God who is portrayed there in the Word. Faith is to rely. It is to trust. It is to commit our hope in what God has said. Faith is to rely upon someone or something. David relies upon God and God's salvation. That word trust refers then to confidence, to certainty in someone. God, who is true, who is firm, God's Word, which doesn't change. I may depend upon Him. I may depend upon His Word. I know for sure. So when we act in trust, we have confidence. That is the answer to our fear. Not relying upon ourselves. David was relying upon himself. He says, if I'm going to escape Saul, I'll go to the enemy where Saul can't get me. Don't rely upon yourself. I was afraid, David says, referring to King Saul and then looking to King Achish from Gath. He had reason to be afraid. I will trust. In Isaiah chapter 43, after the prophet tells the people of God they are going to go in 200 years down to Babylon, there for 70 years, God's word comes with comfort. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Yes, Israel knew that by experience. Wasn't the Lord with them as they went there to the Red Sea and the walls of water on both sides? The Lord was with them. And when they entered into the land of Canaan, there they walked again upon dry ground in the Jordan. Walking through the waters, the Lord was with them. And there later on in Babylon, didn't Daniel's three friends find exactly that truth? When their faith was tried, when they would not bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar made, thrown into the fiery furnace that was made many times hotter, they passed through the fire, and the flame did not kindle them. They were not burned. Their hair wasn't even singed. Trust, for the Lord is with us. It is only a fool that says, I've never been afraid. You're deceiving yourself. But whatever the future holds, God is greater than that future God, is greater than anyone that would do us harm. We could see him. David trusts in the God that he knows. So this question, as you go through your trials, your difficulties, as many times you're afraid, how big is your God? How big is your God? I will put my trust in God. Or in our text, notice those words are changed around, verse 11. In God, I will put my trust. Notice those words, in God, come first in our text. The Hebrew word there is Elohim. That's the plural word for God. It's a plural because of the majesty and the glory of God's perfections. This is our confession of faith. I will trust in God. In God will I put my trust. The God of glorious perfections, majesty and splendor of God. He is the all-sufficient and complete in himself. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need anyone. The character of God. Who is God? He is God Almighty. He is the Eternal One. He is the Gracious One. He is the one who is full of mercy. The one who is a covenant God who is faithful. He is the God who has showed his love for us in the cross of Jesus Christ. In order to draw us, his children, out of our sins and to embrace us in his own bosom. Oh, the fixed, the sure, the steadfast, the immovable one, in God will I put my trust. He is the absolutely dependable one. He has proved his faithfulness, hasn't he? Fear not, though your sins be many. Fear not. God has given his own Son on the cross. He gave us the greatest of all gifts, our salvation. And now this question. The God who gave his own Son, will he not take care of you and of me? Will he not also stand with us? He is our God. He cares for his people. Organically together and individually, each one of us in our various stations and callings and circumstances. God cares for those whom he has saved. And so trust in God is never in vain. So the scriptures come to you and me, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to fail. Again, scripture says, my God will supply your need. How? Not with just a small couple drops of grace, but my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Trust in God. David says, in God I will put my trust. What can man do unto me? Or verse 4, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Well, let's ask that question. What can flesh do to me? What can other people do to you and me? Well, they can do a lot of terrible things, can't they? They can do a lot of terrible things. Oh, how cruel, how mean kids can be to other kids on the playground. Oh, how cruel a husband or a wife can be to the other with their words, and words do hurt. How cruel peers can be, laughing at ridiculing us How cruel they can be when they tempt us, and those temptations are so appealing to our sinful flesh. I fear myself. What can man do to me? Well, they can persecute you. They can put you in prison. They can cut off your head. We're living in the last days. We're going to face the great tribulation when it's going to be almost impossible for the children of God to buy or to sell. Even today in many different countries, Christians are paying for their life. Yes, they have enemies, and they could hurt them. They could do terrible things. But the Bible says, don't fear those who can hurt the body. Fear him. Fear him who can cast your soul into hell. Trust in the Lord. The Lord preserves his own. What a beautiful passage, Peter, you have chosen. In God, because of who he is. In God who sent his own Son to pay for our sins. Won't he give us all things necessary for body and soul? Trust in the Lord. And what is the basis for that kind of strong, true faith? How can we have that kind of reliance on God? Well, if you have your Bibles open yet, you'll see in the end of verse 9, this confidence, this I know. This I know. God is for me. Beautiful. How can you and how can I know that the triune God is for me personally? You and I know it from his revelation in his word. You and I know it in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why David says in verse 10, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. Notice how those two verses really go together, 10 and 11, just as verses 3 and 4 go together. Here is the source for this kind of activity of faith, God's Word. God has revealed himself to you and me as the God who cares for his people. The God who is always with us by his Word and Spirit. The God who has revealed himself in glorious promises. Take those promises. I will be with you always. I'm with you, Jesus says, to the end of the world. I praise his word. And in his word, he does something. In his word, he calls us to this activity of trusting, doesn't he? How often the psalmist says, trust ye in the Lord. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord and not lean on thy own understanding. What is the Lord saying there? He's saying, my children, my beloved ones, I have given you the heavenly grace of faith and trust. These are gifts I've given. They proceed from me, not from our own wills. I have implanted these things in your new hearts and in your new wills. And I call you. I call you by my grace to that activity of faith, that activity of trusting. Be active in your trust. And that's why David in our psalm is boasting in the word of God. That word of God is perfect. That word of God is not going to fail you. If that is the light that is upon your path, if that is the lamp that is showing your feet where to walk, you are in good places. And you don't have to be afraid of the darkness of the world and the darkness of your own sinful flesh. You don't have to be afraid then of that roaring lion called the devil. Because you have the Word of God. David, sitting there in Gath. What did I ever get myself into? All alone there. But he had God's word in his heart, and he could meditate on that word of God. And that brings him to his senses, and he's able to sing this psalm afterwards. And as David sings that psalm, of course, he sings it as a type of the greater one, doesn't he? He sings it as a type of the great antitype, Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus comes into this world and he is very much alone as he's going to the cross. His enemies are many and they mean trouble for him. They can do terrible things. They did terrible things. And as he's facing that cross, it's not just the enemies on earth, but he knows that he, on the cross, he's going to face the fierce wrath of his Father in heaven in our place. And we read in the Garden of Gethsemane, "My soul is greatly troubled." He knew fear. But the Lord Jesus also had the Word of God, didn't he? That the Lord would not leave his soul in Sheol. That death would not be the last answer. But through the way of suffering, there would be victory. He trusted in the Lord, and therefore he went to the cross. He died knowing that he would give his life over and he would take up his life again. He trusted in God. God's word is perfect. And as God, who doesn't change, as God is reliable, and as God is trustworthy, so also is his word, the Bible. We looked at that, didn't we, last week in the morning. Because it is the infallible, the inerrant word of the living God, therefore it has authority for our faith and our walk. It will not fail us. It is trustworthy. It is reliable. It is that lamp to our feet. We overcome, beloved, our fears only through that sure and that true testimony of God's Word, the Bible. It is true, word for word for word. That means, beloved, that means, Peter, as you're running this race, as you're going to fight the good fight, you and all God's saints need to be students of the Word of God. It's that Word of God that's going to enable you to live out the confession that you have made with your lips. It means that we need to hide that Word in our hearts. When Jesus Christ was tempted there by the devil, Jesus didn't say, "Well, let me get my Bible a moment. Let me get my Old Testament scriptures and let me find a verse that I can quote." And you and I, when we're in temptations, don't have the luxury to say, "Well, let me get my Bible a minute. Notice when that word is hid in our hearts, then we have a ready answer to give to the devil when he's tempting us. And when that word of God is hidden in our hearts, then when we are facing death for our sake, of our stand for Christ Jesus, we'll have that sure, reliable trust and we'll say, "Though you may slay my body, my soul belongs to my Savior." We need to be in God's word. You and I can be so busy, can't we? There's so many good things that we could be doing. There's so many toys that we have to play with. There's the internet, there's Facebook, there's Twitter, there's all kinds of media kind of things. We could spend hours and hours, and how shameful if we're so busy in so many different things that we find that we didn't have time for devotions again. Is the Word of God what you're going to begin your day with tomorrow and begin your week with? I don't know what this week will hold. For some, it might be death. For each one of us, it'll be some kind of temptation or another, some trial. Are you prepared? Do you begin your morning by reading a passage of God's Word, meditating on it, hiding it in your heart, so that when the devil might come or when the world might ridicule, you can stand sure and strong? Be in God's Word. Be in the Scriptures. Look at how God preserved His saints of old. Men and women and children like you and I, the heroes of faith that we call in Hebrews 11. David, you know, a man after God's own heart, but also very foolish and very sinful at times. We need God's Word in our hearts to be prepared. Oh, the promises of that Word, claim them. Claim those promises, certain promises. God says, I am God Almighty. God's promise, I will hear you when you call to me. I will strengthen you. I will help you in that right early. I will comfort you when you walk through the troubled waters or through the fire, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I have a great, great reward for you in glory. God's promises. All those promises focus, don't they, on Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus says to us who are weary at times in the battle of faith, come unto me and I will give you rest. Jesus says, I will never forsake you. Jesus says, I will bear you up in my arms. And it's those promises, beloved, it's those promises that will then give us joy. It is those promises then that will give us peace. It is those promises that will give us hope in the midst of trials and troubles and fear. It is in God's Word. Oh, how beautifully David puts it here. In God I praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. And you'll notice there that two different names are given to our God in that passage. First of all, that plural of God, meaning God and all His virtues, and then in the Lord, capital letters, in the covenant God, the God who is faithful, I praise His Word. Because in that Word, by knowing that Word and taking that Word to ourselves, we know of that sure salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. We know that there is nothing in this life and not death itself that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. In that Word, we know that we have forgiveness of all our terrible sins. In that Word, we receive spiritual sight to know what God wants of us, demands of us. And we have that spiritual sight of Elisha's servant, that though there's many against us, there is an army of angels encamped round about us. The Lord of the Lord, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear Him. Oh, what the Word of God does. We read in Psalm 19, the law of the Lord, of Jehovah, is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Jehovah is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Jehovah are true and righteous altogether. More to desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also are they than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Fear, yes, it's our lot. There's many things to fear. Be afraid of the devil who goes about like a roaring lion. Be afraid of your own sinful flesh. Be afraid of that world that's so enticing. But in our fears, trust. Because we have God's Word before us. And God presents Himself as that God who is for us, then who can be against us? So that even later on, David is able to say, afflictions have been for my profit. In my fears, I have been taught the activity of faith. I take that which God has worked in my heart. And now God says, exercise that faith, trust, look away from yourself, look to your God, depend upon Him, call upon Him. If God so loved us that He gave His own Son, will He not take care of those children? Answers yes. So great is God's love for us. Look to the cross. He gave His own Son. God will bring evil. God will bring good out of all of our evils. When we fear, then we will put our trust in God. When faith is matched with fear, then we have courage. We want to honor God. This year, we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Boys and girls, I want you to think about Luther. Luther thought first he was just going to point out some problems to the Pope and to the Cardinal. He thought they'd probably listen. The wrong way of selling indulgences. And the further that Luther got into his work, the more he found out that, no, it wasn't just a few problems, but there were many problems. And finally he finds out he stands in fear of his life because of his positions that he is taking. So he's finally called to the Diet of Worms. Either recant, say you made a mistake, burn your books, or he could expect to be killed. Luther, here I stand. I can do no otherwise. My conscience bears witness. Because Luther was captive to the Word of God, wasn't he? Can't do anything else. This is the Word of God. Courageous faith. In God will I trust. David ends the psalm, thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. Foolish as he was, as he leaned upon his own understanding, going from the pan into the fire, from King Saul to Achish, the king of Gath, God preserves his saints. Learn to trust in him and him alone. Thy vows are upon me. David will continue to look and to trust in the Lord. I want you to notice a couple things in application, briefly. Number one, this wrestling from fear to faith is not momentary. It's not just once in a great while. The child of God, that is the struggle of our whole life, isn't it? And therefore, the importance of prayer. What does David say in this very psalm? In Psalm 8, he says, "Thou tellest my wanderings, thou puttest my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" Yes. Do you see that picture? David's head upon God's shoulder as he weeps in fear and fright. The enemies that are against him, everything seems to be going wrong. Oh, the Lord knows your trials. You pour out your burdens to him. You cast your burdens on the Lord. He knows our tears, doesn't he? Be earnest in prayer. When we're earnest in prayer, when we trust in the Lord, then the very next psalm, Psalm 57, written during the same time, he says, verse 5, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." In his fears, he is taught to look away from himself and to trust in God. And when he tastes God's goodness, he says, "Be thou exalted, O God." That's really about what our calling is. In our fears, when we are taught by the Word of God to trust in the Lord, then we say, "Lord, be glorified in me. Be glorified in my life." David says, "I will perform my vows. I will walk in the light of the living." That's our calling. Trusting in God, no matter what man may do, no matter how the world may ridicule us and laugh at us, no matter of the great tribulation that is coming, we're going to live for God, trusting he will care for us. And though they might take our body, yet he keeps our souls. What a resolve, then. What a godly resolve. Trust, faith, having a victory over our fears. I may walk before God in the light of the living. With this word as the lamp to our feet, I will walk steadfastly, unmoved, for God's glory. Amen. Father in heaven, we're thankful that we have been called tonight together by thy word to the activity of trust. To take that faith that has been worked in our hearts and now to rely upon him in whom that faith is. To have that confidence. There are, Father, many things that make us afraid, troubled, sore distressed. And then we'll lift up our eyes to thee. O Lord, keep us. Increase our faith. Deepen our trust. And we'll love thee and we'll glorify thee. Amen. Let's turn to number 154. There we have a versification of Psalm 57. Stanza 4, "Be thou exalted high, O God, yea, far above the starry sky." We're going to sing stanzas 1, 2, and 4. of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.